let us read together on the screen Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And as we do, I want you to think about the history that we have of the coming of Christ. It wasn't all poinsettias and pretty paper. Matter of fact, it wasn't any of that. It was a smelly cave full of probably mostly lambs and sheep and probably one very weary donkey. If you've ever been in a barn, you know what that smells like. There was a mad escape in the middle of the night due to an insanely jealous local governor. I imagine that wasn't a lot of fun. There was the murder of the innocents, as it's come to be called, something so horrendous it's almost never talked about in the Christmas story, but it is definitely part of the darker pieces that provided the contrast between good and evil. So there's a lot that went into this, to this history, to this story, if you will. And somehow God did what God always does. He wove together the dark and the light, and he created a masterpiece called the gospel. And here's where I want you to, here's what I'd like you to think about, not just the history of the advent of Christ, but your history that is even now being created. In your own life, there are dark chapters. And in your own life, there are very bright chapters. And God is weaving them all together to create something beautiful for himself and good for us. With this context in mind, let's read this together, Romans 8 and 28. Let's begin. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. I want you to ponder that this morning. We're going to have communion here in just a moment. But I want to talk to you today about what it means to work everything for our good in relation, as we kick off the Christmas season here, in relation to the history of the coming of Christ and also our own history. I want us to take this morning, if you will, a very large step backwards. I want to look at the coming of Christ to the world and even the coming of Christ into your life from God's perspective today, and to see God's beautiful handiwork in the designing of your story for his glory. Because our text today says that he works all things together for good. So I want you to ponder that with me this morning. And I'm going to take, as I said, I'm going to take a really big risk. This is either going to be a disaster or it'll be kind of neat. But I want to invite all the kids to come up. And I'm going to give this devotional. Oh, good. I'm going to give this devotional with the help, hopefully, and not the distraction of the children this morning. So let me have all the kids come up. Come on, just come on up. And what I'd like you to do is just kind of, I'm going to move all this aside. I just want you to sit around. I'm going to sit in this chair, and we're going to talk, okay? So I want you to sit around me. Sam, you come sit right here. Emma, come sit right here by Daddy. You got to look at Daddy, Emma. Come on, everyone's come up and sit. Oh, I forgot we got a little baby here this morning. Oh, and she's sweet, little Autumn. Well, hey. Good morning. She is beautiful. Can you sit down with her? Let's see. If not, well, oh boy, that's good. What a good big sister you are. If she fusses, we'll work it out, okay? Ben, can you come over here closer to me? There you go. Good morning. Emma, turn and look at Daddy. All right. Well, I wanted to ask you some questions as we start. What season are we in? What's coming up pretty soon?
Christmas.
Christmas. Yeah, Andy, are you excited about Christmas?
Yeah. Why? Yeah, because we moved to our new house, and Renee, my sister, found a trail for Trevor's dog bike. Oh, and here this.
All right.
My bro was riding it when goes riding the dirt bike where he lives. Too tiny for the dirt bike. He crashed into the lakes.
He crashed into the lake? Oh, that's cool. That's great to see your brother do that, isn't it? That is neat. Oh, so you guys have been busy at your new house. Emma, what do we have in our house?
A Christmas tree.
We do? Wow, that is neat. What do you like best about Christmas, Ben?
The candy canes.
Okay. Yeah, the candy. And is there any particular flavor that you like best?
The spicy.
Oh, the spicy candy canes. That's great. That is good. That is a lot of fun, isn't it? Tell me, what is Christmas all about? Why do we have this holiday called Christmas? Who can tell me?
Joy?
Because we're celebrating Jesus' birth.
That's right. That's exactly right. And does anyone know where Jesus was born, Sam?
Bethlehem.
Bethlehem, that's right. That's exactly right. And where did they put him? He didn't have a crib. So does anyone remember what they put him in?
A manger.
A manger, that's right. Do any of you know what a manger is? What is a manger? Andy, do you know what a manger is? No?
It's a what?
It's a cow.
Oh, it's for the, it's not, it's for the cows. That's right, Ben.
And it's hay.
Yeah, it's got hay in it. But Sam, what is it?
It's where the cows eat.
Yeah, it's what the cows eat on them. Mama's coming to get on them. Let me get some of that on recording. Oh, you should see the face. Hey, by the way, as Autumn's going away, do you think baby Jesus cried?
Yes.
No.
Yeah, well, you know what? And we sing that song, Away in the Manger, No Crying He Made, but guess what? He was a baby. And what do babies do?
Cry.
Yeah, you know about that, don't you? What else do babies do?
They like to suck.
Yep, that's how they eat.
Milk.
Yeah, cows like milk. Yeah. So Jesus did all the things that babies do, didn't he?
Like to eat water.
Okay, the cows like to eat water. What do you see? I want to ask you a question. Look at all these things. What are these things on the stage around us? What are those, Sam?
Quilts.
Quilts. Do any of you have quilts in your house? Yeah, besides my family. You do? Do you have some, Joy? Who made them? Do you remember? Do you know the story behind any of them?
One for my birthday. One, my mom made one for my birthday.
And what's on your quilt?
Superman.
Oh, and what about you, Emma?
You have a quilt?
Mm-hmm.
You don't remember what's on your quilt?
Mm-mm.
But you have one? Sam, do you have a quilt that Mom made? What's on yours?
Superheroes.
Oh, I see a theme here. Right. There's lots of different kinds of quilt. Does anyone, Andy, do you know how you make a quilt? But I know about the path, but do you know how to make a quilt? This kid is stuck on the path, Angie. I don't know. That must be some great fun at your house. Do you know how to make one of those? Yeah. I better let him get this out. We're not going to get anywhere. Oh, you have a Christmas tree right next to a palm tree. Isn't that neat? Do you know how you make a quilt?
You sew it.
You sew it.
Fabric. Sam, hand me that box right there. Yeah. It's stuff like this. You see, you got pieces. Oh, these are long pieces. Can you hold that for me, Emma? See this one, and if I get any short ones in here. Oh, yeah, here's some. Here's a piece. Can you hold that key? There you go. There's another piece. And you take pieces like that and you cut them in certain shapes, and you can see on some of these they have different shapes, and you cut them and you put them together. Of course, do you think you got it? Can you just take the scissors and just cut them any way you want?
No.
How come?
Because you'll mess it up.
Because you'll mess it up. Yeah. Have you ever seen Mommy mess up a quilt?
No.
Well, you just haven't paid attention. Because she does sometimes, and she gets frustrated. What do you have to do when you mess up a quilt?
Throw it in the garbage.
No. You don't throw it in the garbage. That's not anyone. Besides throwing the garbage, what else do you think you could do if you mess it up?
You have to try it again.
Yeah. And you have to take it apart, where maybe you sewed it wrong or cut it wrong, and then you have to fix it. And I've seen my wife do that a lot. But do you know that quilting is something that's been used over the years? And just like this quilt right here, you see this pretty quilt over here? Let me turn it so I can see it. See that pretty quilt? Don't pull away too far, Sam. My wife just finished that quilt. I think it's for her cousin. Her cousin just had a baby. And yes?
That is for a cousin.
Thank you. Thank you for verifying that for me, Ben. You are just a world of help this morning. I don't know what I'd do without you. She made that for her cousin's baby, a little girl. And that one is a little more complicated, I think, than some that I've seen her make. Because if you look at it close, there's a lot of little pieces that were sewn together in there. Now, let me ask you a question. Why would my wife... Why would my wife put all that time? Do you think it takes a long time to make something like that? Yeah. How long do you think it took Mom to make that?
20 minutes.
No. I'm pretty sure it was more than 20 minutes, Sam.
4 days.
4 days? I don't know. Elizabeth, how long did it take you from start to finish? No. We're not talking about that. There's no just sitting down in our house. Huh? 3 weeks. All right.
Mom?
I was talking to your mom.
Yeah, it takes about 3 weeks from start to finish. And so that takes a long time. That's why if you've ever tried to purchase an actual handmade quilt, that's why they're so outrageously expensive, because they just take so long to make. And so as a result, they're very expensive. But did you know that the Bible talks about not quilts, but coverings? In Moses' day, there was a big covering, a big giant, several pieces of cloth knit together, and it covered the entrance to the Holy of Holies where God lived. And the Bible says that in Proverbs 31 that the virtuous woman was clothed with linen and purple and makes coverings for her bed. Wow, what does that sound like? Coverings for her bed. What does that sound like to you? What's a covering for your bed?
A blanket.
A blanket. Or what we have here today in front of us is a what? Who said that?
A quilt. That's right.
So we see that this is something very old that people did a long time ago. The very first time we see a covering, though, is in the book of Genesis, where Adam and Eve took fig leaves to cover themselves, to clothe themselves in after they sinned. So we see that this idea of covering is something that is all throughout the Bible. Now, you see a pretty quilt like that, and you three kids talked about your quilts. Why do you think, Emma, why do you think Mommy made you such a nice quilt? Why did Mommy make you a quilt?
Because he made a plate for me.
Because it was a present for you? Why do you think, Sam?
Because she loves us.
Yeah, because she loves us. And because she loves you, she made you something beautiful. Do you know that quilts were used all over history? From Proverbs 31 even to now. But there was a specific part of our history that you're going to learn about in school. But I want to talk to you about it today. It was something called the Underground Railroad. Has anyone ever heard of the Underground Railroad?
Yes.
Do you know what it was?
It's the underworld.
It's the underworld. Well, that's creative, Sam.
A subway?
A subway? Yeah, that's a good guess. But actually what it was a whole network, a whole group of people who worked together to get the slaves who wanted to escape from slavery to get them up north where they could be free. Did you know that? It's an incredible part of our history. And actually, quilts were used as signposts. They were used to signal to the slaves who were going to escape when the coast was clear, when it was safe to do it. These quilts were made on a worn-out pieces of clothing and different things that the slaves would get together, and they would sew them together in certain patterns. And you can see, like, in that quilt behind you, what do they call that quilt? That's called a sampler quilt because it's a sample of all the different squares, or a different sample of different types of quilt patterns that are used. Now, the slaves were not allowed to learn to read and write. And so all they had was called oral history, which means they told stories to each other. So that's how we got this passed down. And they stitched their signs of freedom right into their quilts. Isn't that interesting? And they used symbols that they brought with them from Africa. And the quilts were so common that the slave owners never even paid attention to them because it was very common to see a quilt hanging on the line in front of the house or in front of the quarters. And so they would use certain patterns and it would mean certain things. Like this pattern, look up on the screen. That pattern right there is called the flying geese. That's what that pattern is called. And the flying geese quilts were hung with the arrows pointing up towards the north, like the spring's migrating geese. Yep. And so those were used to tell the slaves that they were going to be going north very soon to escape. There's another one. It's called the North Star. I think this one's very pretty myself. And they would hang this one up as a compass to tell them in which direction they needed to start. And then there was another one. Look up on the screen, Em. No. That one, do you know what that one was called, Emma?
A monkey wrench.
That's right. Kind of looks like a monkey wrench, doesn't it? And that one was used to tell a message to the ones that were going to escape. And it says to gather all the tools that you have. Get all your tools together because you're going to need them on your journey.
Lion.
That looks like a lion. All right. Now this next one is kind of interesting. It's called the drunkard's path. Now, a drunkard is not a good thing. That's a person who drinks too much alcohol. And that Bible says that that's a sin. It looks like fire. Yeah, it kind of does. But that's, you could see that it's kind of in a zigzag path. Some of it's heading south. And so they would use that to tell them which path to take to confuse the slave hunters and their searching dogs. So they would put that up to tell them to take the southern path and go south in order to confuse those who are going to chase them. All right, and the next one is called the wagon wheel. Now, doesn't that look like a wagon wheel? Yeah, that looks like a wagon wheel, doesn't it? And that one was, they put that one out to tell them that the wagons were ready.
See that house.
See the house in there, yeah. It said to tell them that the wagons were ready and that some of the compartments were big enough to hide in and to get ready because they were going to hide in the wagons. Now, this next one was called the crossroads. That's kind of a neat-looking one, isn't it? And that referred to Cleveland, Ohio. And that was an important turning point to freedom and to a new life. Now, the next one is called the shoe fly. I like that one, the shoe fly. And that marked the home of someone who could read the codes and guide the travelers so that they would put that outside their house. And the next one is called the tumbling blocks, and I think that's one of my favorites. The tumbling blocks, when that was set out, that meant it's time to go. The conductor of the railroad is in the area, so it is time to leave when that one was put out. And then this one was called broken dishes. And it meant to watch for someone on the path because that there would be another sign coming up soon.
Dishes.
Yeah, that's supposed to look like broken dishes. And then this one was called the rose wreath. And that one was sad. When that one was hung out, that sent the message that someone had died on the journey. And so that they could grieve the loss of their loved one. Matter of fact, it is an African tradition where they would lay that wreath, floral wreaths, on the graves. That came from Africa. And then the last one is called the log cabin quilt, and that's a pretty one too. And that was hung outside of a safe house. So if the house was safe to go into and hide, they would put the log cabin quilt out there. They would put that outside of the safe house.
That's pretty.
You think that's pretty? Yeah. You know what? I wonder sometimes if God isn't like a quilter. Could you take all those scraps and put them together and make a quilt, you think?
Yes.
It would be a lot of fun to try it, wouldn't it? I think it takes a lot of work. But you know what? I think that God is a lot like a quilter. Yeah. You do, huh? Well, listen to this little poem about God and quilting. It goes like this. I think God is a quilter who, with needle and thread, pieces our world together from nothingness and gives it form instead. I think we see God's perfect stitches, textured everywhere, in velvet moss and grainy sand, in silky strands of hair. I think God cuts the pattern from stuff we'd throw away and shows us how to use each scrap in God's own redeeming way. I think quilts paint the lessons God uses just to teach that our pieces and our remnants have kaleidoscopic reach. So, in the life we're living, odd pieces everywhere, let's give them to the quilter to work into a masterpiece with extra loving care. All right, let's give these kids a hand. You can go sit back down. Thank you so much for your help today. This quilt in the middle, this bright yellow one, is especially dear to my wife. She did not make it. It's called a friendship quilt. And it was made by, as you can see the families up here, they're all very German names. They were the friends of my wife's grandparents, Albert and Leona Adrian. And they all got together, and each one did a square. And it's a rather large quilt. And obviously, that's a family heirloom. And I was threatened with my life, having it brought to church today, that I would take good care of it. But, you know, I really do think that if you think about quilting and taking these pieces together, think about our text today, Romans 8 and 28, and the history of Christmas, how everything happened. God had to take all, he uses all different pieces. Some are light, some are dark. But God takes all of those chapters of our lives, doesn't he? And he weaves them together for his good. And folks, don't ever miss it. God's good is your best. I want to say that again. God's good is your best. Now, that doesn't mean that everything is hunky-dory and perfect and no problems. Matter of fact, if I could be honest this morning, don't we realize that it's quite the opposite? It's those darker pieces that really bring out and highlight the rest of that quilt. It's those dark chapters in our lives that God uses to make something beautiful. I was reading at a funeral just the other day in Ecclesiastes 3. I never really caught this, and it just jumped off the page at me. Where it says there's a time for everything, a time to mourn, a time to dance, time to live, time to die. And then at the end of that, it says, God has made all things beautiful in his time. In his time, God takes all of those pieces, the dark, the strange, all of them together, and he forms something like a quilt, and he makes them beautiful. And there's all different kinds of patterns. There's all different kinds of colors But God puts those all together because we need every one of them in order to get to where we need for God to make something beautiful out of our lives. There are several stages in the making of a quilt, and living with a quilter, I've gotten to see this. The first stage is really just the cutting of all the material. I know that a quilt is getting ready to be made when, first of all, I look online on my credit card bill and I see money is spent at Joann's. That's the first hint that something is happening. But you got to gather your materials together, and Elizabeth will come home with all of these different bolts of cloth. And I look at them and I think, you know, I can see that they kind of go together, but in my mind, I can't imagine what that thing is going to look like. But in Elizabeth's mind, it's already made. You know, and it's the same is true in our life. And the same is true with the coming of Christ. God gathered all of these pieces together. And I don't want to get into it too far today because I really want to get to our communion. But if you stop and think about it, even the Romans ruling the world at the time, I honestly wonder if God did not just orchestrate all of history to get to the Romans to the point of where they were when Jesus came. Because there had to be a power that had the authority and enough of the discipline behind it to tell everybody to go to your hometown in order to be taxed. That's how Jesus ended up in Bethlehem. The old saying, all roads lead where? You know why? Because Rome built roads. That's what they did. And they did that in order to encourage the economy. So all of these things, I want you to think about all of these as just pieces of a quilt that God was putting together throughout history in order to bring the Christ to us. But it starts with gathering the materials, but then she doesn't just take those materials. She has to do something with them. And she has this board. It's interesting. It's called the self-healing mat. And boy, I think there's a lesson in that. And she places the material on there, and she has a rotary cutter. It's not like scissors, but it's a circle that is razor sharp, which every one of my boys have figured out it's razor sharp. And you can imagine how they figured that out. And she'll take that in various ways, and she will start to cut that material into pieces. And all of a sudden, the top of the quilt will begin to take shape. And the top of the quilt is something that you see from the beginning. It's the face, sometimes called the face of the quilt. It's this side. And you see that come together. That's the part that the world sees. That's the story, if you will. It's the front or the top of the quilt. And we see it just start to come together in the back room where Elizabeth sews. And you can see that the patterns are starting to form. It's just like our lives. And it's just like the Christmas story. You can see everything is coming together. And there's a lot of, you got to admit, there's a lot of dark colors in the beginning of that. We've cleaned it all up, and if we wrote the Christmas, or the way we see the Christmas story today, you know, it's all bright greens and reds and poinsettias, and I'm telling you, it wasn't that way. There was a lot, and there was more dark than there was light in that true story of Christmas and the true history. And God put it all together to form what we now understand as the coming of Christ. And I want to say that God's put all those things together in your life as well, and it's still being formed. And it's not just your story, it's my story. You see, because there's different pieces in here, and we're just like this quilt. We're knit together, aren't we, to form the body of Christ. Here locally at Lake Wildwood Baptist Church, we're part of each other. And that's why it's important to understand the vital role that we play. But it's not just the front. You also, if you have a front, you necessarily have a what? A back. So there's the backing. And the backing of the quilt is kind of interesting. There's a good picture up there. You can see it, the backing. It's usually just one solid piece of material. The cool thing about the backing is when you look at it from behind, you can see the quilting a lot better than you can on the front. One of the quilts that my wife made my mom, and it sits in her den, I thought was really cool. However many kids we had at the time, somehow she traced, there was a four older kids, she traced their hands and quilted their hands into that quilt. You don't really see it from the front, but when you turn that thing around on that solid backing, you can see it. And when you look at the back, you can see the full beauty that you just don't ever really realize until that quilt is finally done. And you can turn it over and have a good look at it. And I think there's a lesson in there for us today, too. Your life's not done yet. God is adding more people and pieces into your life all of the time. And from where we're looking at, and I'm sure when Elizabeth makes a quilt, sometimes it just doesn't look like it's coming together until you turn it over and see the backside. And folks, God hasn't shown us that yet. And we need to trust that God knows what he's doing. And then, of course, there's the quilting. This one has a real pretty pattern to it. Some of the patterns, like this one, are actually form pictures and things. And again, you really can't see it from the front, but from the backside you can. You know, and the quilting is interesting because the quilting is what takes all of the layers, and there's actually three layers, and I'll talk about the batting in a minute. There's something in between the front and the back, and you never see it. Takes all of those layers, and one of the things that Elizabeth does is once the front and the back are done, she puts the batting in the middle, lays it out, and she's got a lot of safety pins. And those of you that are quilters have seen this before. I think she showed it to my dad in the safety pin stage, and my dad said, "What in the world are all those pins doing in it?" Well, what the safety pins do is they hold everything in place until the quilting, till the needle and thread can actually sew it there. And you know, God has sent the Holy Spirit to hold everything in place until God has his finished work in our life. And he's done that through the gospel. You can see that direct correlation there. And the quilting is what pulls everything together. And it actually makes it strong. It actually makes it one piece. Until the quilting takes place, you have three separate pieces. But when the quilting happens, it is all brought together as one unit. And you know what? The Bible says that we are the body of Christ. And there's a lot of different people in here. And believe me, if you could see what I see, you would see how different we really are. And you know what unifies us? You know what holds us together in the right place so that we don't shift too far from one another? It's the Holy Spirit. It's God sending his Spirit, and he unites us, and he makes us one body, the body of Christ. So together we can see where all of this takes place. But before it's all over, once the quilting is all done, one of the last things is the binding. The binding. That's the final stage. And sometimes I've seen Elizabeth actually take the edges of the backing and fold it over and bind it that way. Other times, as in this quilt, and I think this one too, you can see that she actually takes a separate piece, folds it over to the front and to the back, and sews that together and brings all of that into a finished product. That edge is sewn all the way around. And it forms the framework that shows you the edges of that quilt. The binding plays a very important role in that. That is what gives it its strength. That is the final piece that pulls the whole thing together and gives it the parameter and the context and the strength. And you look at that, and because of the binding, you see a finished product. I think of the song that we sing, "Bind Us Together." Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. And God has done that for us with each other through his Son. He has bound us together to himself through the sacrifice of Christ. And those are cords that can never be broken. But there is one more thing, and it's on the inside, and it's called the batting. There's some of it right here. You can see this cotton stuff here. It goes on the inside, and you never see it. And you wonder, what is its purpose? I mean, we don't see it, but it's because it's all on the inside. But it's what makes the quilt warm. It's what connects the front to the back. It's on the inside. And you know what? It's what is on the inside that counts. The Bible says that man looks on the outward. But where does God look, church? He looks on the heart. He sees the batting. And you know what? It's the inside that matters. Matter of fact, the Bible says it's the inside that's the problem. It's our heart that's the problem that nobody sees but God. And what God sees is a heart of stone. And as the prophet said, remove my heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh. And God does exactly that. He changes us from the inside out as he creates the story that is our life. And we need to remember that it is the inside, those things on the inside, is what really matters. And it reminds me, again, you've got to take the Bible glasses off to get to this. And this is what I hope to do throughout the rest of this month, is to help you do that and to do it with you. But to take a look at these who God sovereignly chose to play the roles in what we look at the history of Christmas, the coming of Christ. And you think about Mary. We're going to talk about her soon in ensuing Sundays. This little Judean teenage girl. And she was. She probably wasn't any older than Julia. Probably, possibly younger. And what she went through as she watched all of this. Incredible turns of events. Being rejected by her fiancé and then turning around and being accepted. Being an outcast in her community. Having to, Kelly, can you imagine? Just a few days before you were to give birth, if Larry said, hey, you know what, we're going to take this donkey ride for like 30 miles, hop on. Really? I mean, Mom was telling a story the other day that I guess she was overdue for me. I was 3 weeks late. Actually, I was right on time, but that's another story. And Dad was getting nervous, so he took Mom bowling. Bowling. And the guy who operated the bowling alley was nervous, and he said, when is that lady due? And Dad said, well, she's 3 weeks overdue. And he said, oh, why my bowling alley? You know, can you imagine poor Mary, what she went through, knowing that this was something special? I mean, on that donkey gets her, and then finally goes to the temple to present Christ, and Simeon takes this baby, and man, what he says is mostly this color. And he said, and the sword will pierce your own soul also. Talking to Mary. You know what the Bible says after that? She's taking all this in. The Bible says, and Mary took all these things and she treasured them, where? In her heart. On the inside. The part that you cannot see. What are you treasuring today? John Piper says, God is most glorified in me when I am most satisfied in him. What's on the inside of you that we can't see? How's your heart today? You know, that's not my heart. Is that one working? All right. Yeah, that was not my heartbeat. But I wonder, you know, where are we with all of this? Understand that God is making something beautiful. He knew you needed a new heart. He knew you needed more than anything to be set right with him. That you didn't need a reformation. You needed a resurrection. Bible says we were dead in trespasses and sins. You didn't need a new start. You needed a start. You needed a heart start. God brought life from the inside out. When we were dead in our trespasses and sins, you he raised together in Christ Jesus. He made us new from the inside out. And even on days like Friday morning, when you get the call and find out that your dad has gone to spend eternity with Christ, on those days with those dark pieces, God sews them in there because God had been faithful in Charles' life. And I heard some beautiful things sitting around that table yesterday that I can't wait to share with you Saturday at 11 o'clock when we have his memorial service. Charles's quilt of his life is done. And God finished his binding Friday. And it's beautiful. Matter of fact, it rhymes. Imagine that. The poem of his life, the masterpiece of his life, is now done. But it's not over, because it lives in Pam, and it lives in her brother and her two sisters, and in the grandchildren. You know what? It lives in us. And because of what God did in knitting Charles together, and the life and legacy that he left, as the scripture said, he being dead yet speaks. That's the power of the gospel. That's the beauty of God knitting together our lives for his glory. Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things, all these pieces, they work together for good. And the qualifier is to those who love God. And if you're not his, you can't love him. And those who are the called out ones according to God's purpose. And if you're his child, that is you. And none of that happens without the blood of Christ. Matter of fact, every quilt that God makes, the threads are red. We are stitched together with the very blood of Christ and covered by his atoning sacrifice in our place. And he has made something very beautiful. He makes all things beautiful, and here's the clincher, in his time. For some of you, his time for you is coming soon. I've prayed for some of you, and I'm thinking of, I'm calling your name right now in my mind, that I know you've not bowed the knee to Christ yet, but that day is coming, and my prayer is that it's coming soon. It might even be today. I don't know. Christmas and quilting. You can just look at the history and trace his hand. And I pray that you'll do that. And as we open these elements in just a minute, that you would just remember the hope of the gospel, as we're reminded about that today. And that God's putting it all together for our good and his glory. Well, the Bible says that we are to examine ourselves, and we would do well to follow Scripture at every corner. So we're going to take just a moment of silence here.
Daddy, why did he have to die? I know he hasn't done any wrong. Son, he is the sacrifice lamb. Through his blood, you and I will go free. The sacrifice lamb is God's gift to our nation. Through his death, you and I will go free. The sacrifice lamb is God's gift to our land. Through his blood, our sin debt's relieved. As Mary looked into his eyes, did she know he was the sacrifice lamb? And as she held his tiny hands, did she know they'd be nailed to a cross? God said, Merry Christmas, world, my gift is salvation through the blood of the sacrifice lamb. God said, Merry Christmas, world, my gift is redemption through the blood of the sacrifice lamb. God said, Merry Christmas, world, my gift is salvation through the blood of the sacrifice lamb. God said, Merry Christmas, world, my gift is redemption through the blood of the sacrifice lamb. Through the blood of my only son, the sacrifice sacrifice lamb.